71. An hour later, they stood at the base of the stairs with the bikes. Nate looked up at the faded sun hanging in the sky. According to his internal clock, it was coming up on midnight.
"Go on," said Roger. "You go first."
Nate looked over at him. "What, you're scared of a 3-foot drop?"
"Not scared," said Roger. "I'm just not the guy in charge."
"And you keep saying I am, so get down there and I'll hand you a bike." Roger took another look at the ground below the last concrete step. It looked like beach sand, but there was something off about it. The grains were too large and too gray. It looked like someone had tried to make a desert from an off-the-cuff description.
"What if there's sandworms or something?"
"Sandworms?" said Nate.
"Big worms that move through the sand like it's water."
Roger's level arm went up and down in a smooth wave.
"Or the big thing in Star Wars. What if we step down there and the sand just turns into a big pit with a mouth at the bottom?"
"For the record, it's called a sarlacc," Zila said. Roger snorted.
"Geek."
"Chicken," said Veek. "I'm just..."
"Oh, for God's sake," said Tim.
He stepped off the stairs and sand puffed out from his feet as he landed.
"The damn sun doesn't move, and we're still going to run out of daylight before you two grow up."
Veek glanced down. "No sandworms?
Just give me a bike."
Veek, Roger, and Tim already owned bikes. Nate found one in the back of the building chained to a drainpipe. He made a point of not looking at the bodies while he smashed the lock open with one of Clive's hammers. Nate and Roger lowered the bikes down to Tim. Nate hopped down, then Veek, and finally Roger. Nate threw one leg over his bike and pointed to the northeast. "I'm thinking if we head straight up to the ridge, it does two things," he said. "One, it's a smoother, easier ride up to the hills than cutting across this depression. Two, it also lets us take a look at whatever's over there before we reach the tower."
"Normally I'd say being up higher makes us more visible," said Tim. "But it's not like there's anywhere else we could find cover."
He gazed out at the wasteland with its occasional lone tree or half-buried boulder.
"If the squales come back, we're screwed."
"Even if they don't go after us, we'll just get thrown around until we break something," said Veek. "It'll be like getting caught outside in a hurricane."
Zila crouched on top of the small ledge with her hurt leg out straight. She and Roger exchanged whispers. He slapped the pistol on his waist and went to pull it out.
"Roger," Tim growled, "don't screw around with your weapon."
Roger's hand jumped away from the pistol.
"Sorry."
Tim had returned to his apartment and come back with a small arsenal. Each of them wore a black, blocky pistol clipped to their belts, and Tim's were strapped to his thighs. Upstairs, Clive had a Mossberg shotgun for watching Andrew. Tim had explained it was loaded with beanbags, so Clive shouldn't hesitate at all if he needed to shoot. After all he'd learned about Tim in the past few hours, Nate felt a little uncomfortable with that explanation. Zila waved them over to the ledge.
"Be careful," she said. "There's something weird about this place."
"You're very perceptive," said Veek. "What gave it away?"
"Bitch,"
Zila said.
"I'm serious. I think it'd be really easy to get lost here. The lines aren't right."
Nate looked at her.
"The what?" "The lines," she repeated. "The vanishing points. None of them line up."
Tim nodded.
"I noticed that, but I couldn't figure out what it was."
"Still don't know what you're talking about," said Roger.
"Vanishing points, baby," said Zila. "You know how things look smaller and closer together the farther away they are, like how the sides of a straight road look like they come together and disappear at the horizon? That's the vanishing point."
"Okay, right," said Roger with a nod.
"So..."
She looked out at the wasteland and gestured at the hills.
"The lines, the angles, the vanishing points, none of it matches up here," she said. "It's tough to be sure because there's so few reference points, but it looks like the perspectives are all wrong."
"How's that even possible?" asked Veek. "I mean, I think I understand how you could mess it up in a picture, but how can you do it in the real world?"
Zila shrugged.
"I don't know. Other dimensional geometry or something. Everything still seems okay in the building."
She tipped her head at the ridge.
"Just keep it in mind while you're out there."
She gave Roger another kiss before heaving herself back to her feet. They kicked off, and headed across the hill toward the ridge. They rode for 15 minutes or so. The only noise was the whir of bicycle chains, the occasional clicking of gears, and their own breaths as they pedaled across the sand.
"It's quiet," Tim remarked.
"Too quiet?"
asked Nate. He thought of the silent machine in the walls of the Kavach building.
"Yeah, actually," Tim said. "You get used to operating with certain noise levels. There's nothing here."
"We're in the middle of a desert," said Vic.
"I've been in the desert before," said Tim. "Some nasty ones. You'd be amazed how many sounds there still are. Wind blowing, sand shifting. Plus, you can hear for miles, so there's always something, but not here. Here, there's nothing."
"I feel wind," said Roger.
"You feel the air on your face because we're moving. Not the same thing. Trust me, the only sounds out here are the ones we're making."
"Something else calling attention to us," said Nate.
"Oh, yeah," Tim said. "Not to mention the sand's just loose enough for us all to leave tracks."
He shot a glance over his shoulder at the four trails tracing back to the building. After a few more minutes, Vic rolled her bike closer to Tim.
"The tower's not moving much," she said. "I mean, relative to us, that means it's close to the ridge, right?"
"I know what you mean," Tim said. "Parallax-wise, yeah, but remember what Zila was saying about how perspectives were tricky here? That might not mean anything."
Vic nodded on her bike. She looked ahead at Nate and gasped.
"Shit!"
Nate had leaped half a mile ahead. He straddled his bike and looked back at them, both feet on the ground. He waved to them.
"How'd he get so far ahead?" gaped Vic.
Tim shook his head.
"Alien geometry, remember?"
She looked behind them. Roger's tire had almost been clipping hers. Now he was a good 100 yards behind them. She saw him mouth the words, "What the fuck," before he leaned forward on his handlebars. Or maybe he hadn't mouthed it. The Kavach building was a speck on the horizon behind him.
"Look out," yelled Tim. His voice sounded distant.
She brought her head back around and caught a glimpse of him a few dozen feet away. Before she could get her eyes back to the front, she crashed into Nate and knocked both of them over. Nate grunted. His bike pinned one of his legs and Vic pinned the bike. She tried to twist off him and he winced.
"Easy," he said. "Sorry."
Roger skidded to a stop inches from them.
"Shit,"
he said.
"Wham, here you are."
"Wham" being the operative word, said Nate. He bit his lip as Vic shifted her weight. Roger helped her up and Nate untangled himself from the bikes.
Tim coasted up. "Sorry," he said. "I wanted to stop you, but all of a sudden you were too far away. You okay?"
"A couple bruises, maybe," Nate said. "That's it. I got lucky and fell in some sand." Vic snorted out a laugh and Roger grinned. Nate dusted himself off and they all smiled. Tim tipped his head to Roger.
"What did it look like to you? What happened?"
Roger shrugged.
"It was weird," he said.
"Wasn't like you guys sped up or anything. Just one second you were 5 feet in front of me, the next second you were 500. Like a movie, skipping ahead because they edited stuff out."
Vic tilted her head.
"What about when you almost hit us?"
"Same thing. You were way over there, and then you were right in front of me again, down on the ground."
"So," Nate said, "we shouldn't get too separated."
"We weren't separated," said Roger. "Like Zila said, all the lines are messed up."
"Just before this," said Tim, "I was trying to tell Vic, I think the distances are messed up. We've been riding for 25 minutes, yes?"
Vic pulled out her phone, glanced at it, and sighed.
"Sure, okay."
Tim pointed.
"We should be close to the ridge by now. It was only 2 miles away, tops, but it doesn't look much closer than it did from the building."
Nate leaned over to Vic.
"Phone's dead?" "Right," she said with a nod. "Just gibberish on the screen."
He glanced over her shoulder at the green squiggles.
"Is that Arabic?" "Don't think so," she shrugged. "Might be Thai and Arabic mixed together. Some default languages in the phone all spewing out at the same time. Looks kind of like the Matrix."
"So what do we do?" said Roger. "Think we're ever going to get there?"
Nate looked at the ridge.
Tough to say, for all we know, if we have another one of those, I don't know, ripples, distortions. If there's another one of those, we could be there in a few seconds, or it might take us the rest of the day.
Or the rest of the week, said Tim. He pulled his bag off his shoulder and rummaged around in it.
Roger looked over his shoulder. The building was a mile away now. They could still make out most of the big details on it.
What if the same thing happens going back? Could take us a couple days to get home.
Or no time at all, said Vig. Damned if we do, damned if we don't.
Damn right, said Roger.
Tim pulled out a coil of cotton rope. He tied one end to the handlebars of his bicycle, pulled out a few lengths of rope, then did a quick hitch on Nate's handlebars. A few more quick lengths, and he moved to Vic's bike.
Okay, said Nate. Here's what I'm thinking. We spend another hour heading for the ridge. If we don't make it, that's it. It's more important we get back to the building.
Agreed, said Tim.
And we're going off Tim's sense of time, Nate added, because we don't have anything else that works. If he says it's been an hour, it's been an hour. We all agreed?
Vic and Roger nodded.
Tim tied the end of the rope to Roger's bicycle.
We've got 10 feet between us, he said. If it's just a perspective thing, nothing will happen. If we're actually moving somehow, we'll know through the rope. Make sense?
Let's try not to panic over any of it, said Nate.
Zila thought it might happen, and it did. If we rush around, we're just going to get each other hurt. He rubbed his knee for emphasis. 5 minutes later, they had another shift. Vic blinked, and Tim vanished from the front of the line. Her eyes adjusted and saw him a mile down along the sand dune. Another blink, and Nate joined him there.
Vic touched the rope connecting her bike to Nate's. It still had slack on it, just enough that she could hook her finger over it and feel it give when she tugged. The woven strands of cotton were still loose. She tried to follow the rope out to the other bicycle, but it made her eyes hurt. She shook her head, and the two men were in front of her again. Nate glanced back at her.
You too?
She nodded.
But we're all okay, he said. It just looks weird. It doesn't hurt us.
Not yet, anyway, muttered Tim.